22 Simpsonville City Council Business Meeting. Our city clerk, Ashley Clark, is out ill this evening, so I'm going to ask Administrator Gracely to call the roll, please.
Councilmember Gooch.
Here.
Councilmember Ruth.
Here.
Councilmember Houlihan.
Here.
Councilmember O'Shea.
Here.
Councilmember Cummings.
Here.
Councilmember Hutchings.
Here.
Mayor Schumaker.
Here. If you would, please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So each member will have received a copy of the minutes from our last business meeting. Does any member of council have any corrections? I have a couple that I will mention. Under the item public hearing, if we could strike the words public hearing and replace it with citizen comments. And then on the second page, under item H, the very last piece there, it says vote 3-1. We can strike the vote 3-1 and replace that with motion carried. Yes equals 3, no equals 1. Councilmember Roche voting no. And that's so that we remain consistent in how we keep our minutes. Any other corrections beyond what I've mentioned? All right then, if there are no objections, the minutes will stand approved as amended. Thank you. All right, now is time for citizen comments. We have 9 people who have signed up to do citizen comments. And I just want to say that I see a lot of familiar faces and see familiar names on the list from our last meeting. And I will say how much I appreciated the respectful comments that we got in the last meeting, but there are new faces here tonight, so I'm going to review the rules on citizen comments again. So first, you must have standing in the city, and you have to sign up at least 10 minutes prior to the meeting. You've all done that. After you're recognized, please speak only from the podium here, okay? And any comments, clapping, or similar demonstrations are not allowed. When you reach the podium, please state your name and address, name and address prior to beginning your remarks. Individual comments are limited to 3 minutes. And I have a new way of keeping time for you. So after you state your name and address, then that's when your time will start. You'll have 3 minutes. At 30 seconds, the light will turn yellow. And then when your time is up, the light will turn red and you need to end your comments. Speakers are not allowed to concede any part of their allotted time to another speaker. All remarks shall be addressed to council as a whole and not to any individual member of council. The purpose of addressing council is to allow council members to hear the opinions of the citizens and is not intended to afford the opportunity to engage in a debate or dialogue. Therefore, there will be no reply or rebuttal by council members. The previous speaker has already expressed a shared view. Speakers are encouraged to simply state that they agree with the previous comment instead of repeating a comment that's already been made. Citizens are permitted to submit documents or exhibits to the council by presenting them to the city clerk for distribution. In this evening's case, it would be to the city administrator. As the presiding officer, I will rule non-germane, derogatory, disruptive, or repetitive comments out of order. And this is directly from the ordinance. The presiding officer shall have wide discretion in conducting the meeting and shall have the power to interrupt remarks at any time in the interest of expediting the orderly disposition of the business at hand. The presiding officer shall be obligated to prevent any party from unduly consuming the council's time. The presiding officer may clear the room of disruptive individuals or recess the meeting in the event of general disruption. So, with that out of the way, let's begin our citizen comments. We're going to start with Andy Holden. Mr. Holden, if you'll come to the microphone and state your name and address.
Andy Holden, 305 Oxner Road. On November 14th, I received a reply from Mr. I think it's Knudsen about the traffic calming policy, and he informed me that that is for citizen-requested traffic calming. At the June 28th meeting of the whole, Mayor Schumaker stated he was in communication with a resident of South Plain who was gathering signatures for something to happen on Hunter, either closure or anything else that they, that the neighborhood would like to have done. He said, and she said, she had 20 signatures so far. And the mayor said that it was also for traffic running through there, cut through, and also speeding. There is a traffic calming policy that the city of Simpsonville has adopted that specifies how someone may get the city to instigate traffic calming, including addressing speeding and the closing of a road. According to that policy, if there is a speeding problem, there is a speeding problem only when there is 85% of the traffic on the road speeding in excess of the posted limit by 6 miles or more. So everybody would have to be doing in excess of 30 miles an hour. That's 85% of the people that travel that road. Excess volume per cut through is determined to exist if normal traffic in the neighborhood is exceeded by 10% as measured at neighborhood entrances and exits. And the normal neighborhood traffic volume is determined using methods from the Institute of Traffic Engineers. That and the policy continues, if a plan is developed to do something about the road, whatever that policy might be, has to be approved by 65% of the residents involved with that. That 65% has to include the people that that road closure, if that's what it is, if that is the closest road for their exit, if that is the closest exit from the neighborhood for them, that means that all the people on the lower side of North and South Pliny, below Hunter, would be included in that, and I assume the people on South Pliny above Hunter would be included in that. The rest of the people in the neighborhood would not be included in that because that's not the closest exit. My question is, were any of these things followed? Because according to all the information I could find, none of this has been followed. And I would like to see the study done on the speeding, if that's something that you were trying to address. And I would like to see any kind of study that you did concerning cut-through traffic to determine what the volume is, if there is any cut-through traffic. Now, I understand that some people can obviously see over hills and see people running stop signs and lots of traffic going through there. The other thing is, you contacted the church and had a private meeting with them concerning the new traffic directions. They don't pay city tax. They don't pay property taxes. I would like to know if you contacted all the members, the citizens of Pliny and the lower Plinys, and asked them the same thing, because they do pay property taxes, to see if they wanted their road closed.
Conclude your comments, please.
Thank you.
Next up is MJ Gallman, 307 Oxner. Ms. Gallman, state your name and address, and we'll begin your time.
Mayor Shoemaker and Council, I'm MJ Gallman at 307 Oxner Road in Simpsonville. I have an update since I was here a month ago. I am at 87 signatures on a petition, of which 22 are from League Estates, and this petition is against the closure of Hunter Street. I have emailed some of these to you. I've scanned them and emailed some of you. I have some to give you tonight as the originals. I have another 18 signatures from Simpsonville First Baptist Child Enrichment Center, where moms and dads are dropping off their children and not able to exit the parking lot or even the parking spaces because of the traffic backed up behind them. There are 522 signatures on an online petition to reopen Hunter Street versus 36 to keep it closed. That's nearly 15 times as many. According to the South Carolina DOT, there are 40 new townhomes to be developed in a strip of property on Main Street. According to the South Carolina DOT, that will add 606 daily trips on Main Street, which adds more and more traffic to the fiasco that's going on already in downtown Simpsonville in traffic. I had a neighbor last night who left her home in my neighborhood, which, Mayor, you know where I live. Has one roof as well, you know, in what area I live. We have communicated a lot. She left her home at 5:30 last night to go to the clock tower and took 25 minutes. She was not able to go directly. She had to turn down Hedge Street and go around. And it took 25 minutes because there was no traffic movement on College Street. That's just a side note to let you know how bad things have gotten since we closed Hunter Street. You know, some of the questions, some of the suggestions, I know that we all talked about speed bumps or bumps, other suggestions. And it has been suggested to me about electronic ticketing, that you could do that on Plowney. It works in Fountain Inn. Everybody knows in Fountain Inn on their four-lane road through Fountain Inn, you don't go more than 35 miles an hour because you're going to get a ticket. Everybody knows it's a speed trap. I don't know why that couldn't be an option for the Plowney streets. It could certainly also be an option on Main Street because we need it. And we also need it on Jonesville Road, which, as you know, I live off of Jonesville Road. It's a 35 mile an hour speed limit until you get down to Stokes. And there are people constantly going 50 or more. Thank you.
Thank you.
And if I could give this to
yes, please.
The administrator.
Before I forget again. Thank you, MJ.
Thanks.
Our next speaker is Leanne Frick.
Good evening. Appreciate your time. My name is Leanne Frick. I live at 122 Jessington Lane in the Redfern suburb. I was not able to make the last meeting. Not happy about the closure. But I would say this. Do I think there was a lot of cut-through traffic? Absolutely. Do I think there was speeding? Most likely. What I'm concerned about is that I do not feel like the traffic calming policy that Simpsonville has, 34 pages of, was actually implemented. I didn't see counters and police presence until after the sign went up, and I'm sure you got a slew of emails because you got some from me, and I know a lot of other people did. I'm concerned about the traffic light patterns. It seems to me that this road was closed without consideration of doing anything else to mitigate the excessive increased traffic. You can't make a left from Main Street on College Street at significant times of the day. You can't make a left from College Street onto Main Street. The light might be green, but there's no place to go because of the traffic or somebody in front of you who's you're trying to go straight and they're trying to go left. It's just, there's gotta be a timing approach to making that a little bit better, in my opinion. The island on Main Street, coming all the way down to College Street to make the left, prohibits having a full left lane to turn from. So if you've got cars backed up all the way past Eggs Up Grill and beyond, and most of those folks are trying to make a left. So it seems to me, again, some of those things could have been done in preparation for prior to Hunter Street being closed. And now, if you do take Jonesville all the way up to the stop sign, folks behind you are cutting through that church on the right-hand side and going back behind it to come up, mitigate the stop sign and come up onto College Street to get to the light quicker. So it's just a big cluster. It seems to me that the decision was made in a vacuum, and other opportunities to make it a little bit more efficient and effective prior to closing that street were not looked at. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Next up is Sandra Wilson.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council members. My name is Sandra Wilson. I live at 113 South Plowney Circle. I am one of the residents that is having to deal with the heat of the traffic. I've been in my home 6 years this coming January, and every year it has increasingly gotten worse. We are not able, as residents who do pay our property taxes, we can't even get out and walk our neighborhood. I have almost been hit by a car turning at the intersection because no one hardly even stops there. Biggest waste of council and city money to add those four-way stop signs there. I had both of my grandchildren with me. We had to literally jump off into my neighbor Gordon's yard and to be safe from being taken out by a car. I don't think that's any way anybody wants to live. I know that when I bought my home there, I bought my home off of Main Street, not on Main Street. I have another neighbor with her daughter here. They can't even get out in their yard and play because people are text messaging and they are speeding down my street. I can sit on my porch and I watch them. They are going way past 25 miles an hour. We as residents cannot even back out of our driveway safely. There is nothing coming, and then all of a sudden there's a car on top of you when they come over the hill, both directions. I have seen them almost take out my neighbor's fence. And as far as research has been done, per what was stated on the council's website, it stated after a citywide public hearing in April and extensive discussions, Simpsonville City Council voted to realign traffic patterns in downtown Simpsonville. The realignment discussion included streets adjacent to the main downtown throughfares. Due to speeding, the disregard of stop signs, and cut through traffic in the neighborhood of Lucas Estates, Hunter Street will be permanently closed starting November the 23rd. And here's the point that I want to make. Many drivers, including tractor trailer and commercial vehicle operators, are attempting to circumvent the traffic signals on Main Street and using North and South Plain Streets as cut through Jonesville Road in order to travel to the east side of the city and vice versa. The pattern of cut through has created an undue burden on the residents of Lucas Estates. While there are other neighbors inside the city limits where cut through traffic is problematic, there are no evident solutions to the cut through traffic like the closure of Hunter Street. I understand everybody's frustration. I have lived in a major city, Phoenix, Arizona, for 23 years. I live close to a main street, and never in a major city, 10 times as big as Simpsonville is, did we ever have issues of people cutting through. It's a disrespect to the neighbors who live there on a day-to-day basis. We shouldn't have to pick up other people's garbage and live our lives in fear of not even being able to get out of our driveways. On top of that, I just feel like that if and the folks who want to cut through our street, how would they like it if there was a plethora of vehicles coming through their neighborhood on a day-to-day? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next is Noreen Smith. Did I get that right, Noreen?
Yes, sir. My name is Noreen Smith, and I live at 109 South Pliny. And my main concern is the traffic. You've got a petition there with over 500 names of people wanting to cut through our neighborhood. This is a neighborhood. It's not a main street. We just want our peace and quiet back. And if closing Hunter is the way to do it, then please do. Because we've got to have some peace and quiet. My kids were here for Thanksgiving and they were out front throwing the football, and had the street not already been closed, I would have been scared to death to let him be out there and throwing the football around, because if the football got away from him, and it did, they would just run right out into the street to get it, even though they're teenagers. It's our neighborhood, people, and we'd like it back. Thank you.
Thank you. Next up is Chad O'Rear.
Chad O'Rear, I live 334 Jonesville Road, and if y'all live on a busy street, come to my house. You don't play in streets, believe me. That's not what they're built for. Streets are built for through traffic, cars pay taxes, people pay taxes, you don't play in streets. If you want to talk about safety, and believe me, I'm a little more blunt than some people are, so people can take that the wrong way, and I apologize for that in advance. Some of y'all missed the first time we were around here. I've done many FOIA requests. The first one was safety. 18 months worth of safety pulled on Pliny. 6 incidents on Pliny, including citation and incidents. Doesn't sound like a lot of safety issues. Not to flog a dead horse. Y'all didn't even bother with the traffic calming policy at all. It's just kind of flew it out the window. I don't understand that at all. There's a lot of different things you could have done. The traffic impact study that was done by the DOT, if one of the folks here, the first gentleman that spoke, he wanted to know about the study that was done. Yes, study was done, not by the city, by the state. State didn't do anything about Hunter Street. Only thing that was mentioned about Hunter Street was said monitored after the downtown traffic plans be administered, FOIA requested because an employee of the city mentioned to me that there had been a study done about Hunter Street in particular. Figured that wasn't truthful, so when I FOIA requested, he did admit that there was no such study. So to answer the first gentleman's question, there is no study. There was never a study done for Hunter Street. They don't have anything. To answer the first lady's question, lives on Pliny. She mentioned the same thing I was going to mention. While there are other neighborhoods, this is the press release from the city, other neighborhoods inside the city limits where cut-through traffic is problematic. There are no evident solutions to the cut-through traffic, like the closure. So in other words, y'all know there are problems elsewhere. You're not going to address them because you can't. You know you can't. You can't address Fernwood. You can't address Eastview. That was SCDOT mentioned those too. You can't close those streets. You're only closing Hunter because you can't. It's a small strip. There are no safety problems there. You just can't. We get around to also another FOIA request. I spoke to Diana. She was very pleasant. Asked about the November 23rd closure date. That came out of mid air. There's nothing been voted on here. Everything's been done in the dark. That's where we came down to transparency. When I say done in the dark, no one knew anything about this, especially November 23rd. That was done at a retreat. At the retreat, in the presence of all but one council member, we discussed the dates for signage and closure without any objection. That's a retreat that no one knew about because by state law, we didn't have to know about it unless you vote. That sounded like a vote to me. What I'm going to ask, and I'll be bold about, because November 23rd was not an official vote, I'm going to be bold and ask 4 council members to please email her and ask her to remove those barriers immediately, because you can, and we know legally you can, until we get that vote January to permanently remove those by law. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Barry Cross.
Hi, good evening. Barry Cross, 202 Chessington Lane. Native South Carolinian, maybe you can recognize the accent. Lived in Simpsonville on and off for 20 plus years. First time in 1979, so I know Jonesville Road before and after. Okay, so you said not to duplicate what folks are saying, but voice and agreement. This is a takeaway, ladies and gentlemen. And it's a change. And I've learned that the only people that like change is the baby in the dirty diaper. So we have to work our way through this. And I believe that your communication has been flawed. Your planning has been flawed. You've got the cart in front of the horse. You closed the street from a passionate commitment to 20, 30 people. And you see the reaction when you get 500 people saying, you didn't do it right. To do it right, in my opinion, you should have your redesign stabilized. You should have state-of-the-art traffic signals that are moving masses of traffic that happened at commuting time. Because when you finally did the traffic counts, and it was only because you saw that we were getting excited over the issue, you finally put out the rubber pneumatic hoses over the street and started counting cars for the first time, I believe. Then you got some energy behind, did we do this right? Then you went and you talked to the press. So you were trying to gather other folks, and was it a complete story? Two different channels covered it. So I think that there are facts that really didn't get shared. I think that, I'll go to my notes. When you have folks inside the neighborhood where you close the street that are opposed to it, are you really satisfying the folks of League of States? You know for a fact that people are opposed to the inefficiency of the traffic patterns today. It's like water. It's going to find the path of least resistance. And all the cut through by the Baptist Church school and daycare center there, it's dangerous. So my time running out, I respectfully request that you reverse the closure until the redesign of the traffic patterns is in place. You should install non-permanent speed bumps to address the speeding, because it's obvious with the only six traffic violations in 18 months, if there's not a real problem, or the neighborhood's so small that they see the cops. I think also you should focus your energy on improving the, not on this, you shouldn't focus your energy on this, but you should focus it on Jonesdale Road and the intersection of Stubbs Road, because I see many, many, many school buses that have to go up that dangerous turn and go into the left lane to get on their way to the school. That is a bigger safety problem than what we're dealing with here today. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Next is Lowell Duncan.
Thank you, Mayor. My name is Lowell Duncan, and I live at Chessington Lane, Simpsonville. A lot of the comments that I was going to make, I'm also opposed to the closing of Hunter Street. A lot of the comments have already been mentioned, but I'll just mention a little story from this weekend. Me and my wife, we like to go see Christmas lights during this time of the year. And we drove through several different neighborhoods that all had speed bumps and speed humps. And we commented about that, you know, that's in neighborhoods, that's a good way to slow people down. And I understand that there's a problem with speeding. There's a problem all over Simpsonville with speeding and the traffic that we've got here. But it seems to me that traffic bumps, speed bumps, is a more efficient way to go about this rather than totally closing the street down. And the other thing that I would just mention is, you know, someone once told me, as far as leadership and being a leader, that some of the best things that you can do is to listen to people. And if you see that you made a mistake, or if there's been something done incorrectly, the best thing to do is to correct it and to own it up and say, look, this was a mistake and we need to change our mind on it. And that's what I'm going to ask you to do about the closure of Hunter Street. Thank you.
Thank you. And our final speaker tonight is Dakota Bruce.
My name is Dakota Bruce. I live at 237 Perry Avenue. First thing I'd like to say, there's a lot of people with health issues on our street. I'm one of them. I live with seizures. So on parade day, are you just gonna make like fire trucks and ambulances just like drive through the parade? Hunter was their one insurance in on parade day, so that's just one of the topics. Other day, we had to get in by 1:30 or we were cut out of our neighborhood. We had to leave church by 12 o'clock to get back, or we wouldn't have been in to get in till like 5:30. So I think the closure of Hunter, it was rushed and not thought about. We didn't even get noticed till a big sign was put up in our neighborhood. So I think we should have been noticed and getting emailed about, so we could have given you our thoughts. That's all I really have to say. Thank y'all.
Thank you. All right, that concludes our citizen comments for this evening. Turn this off. Next on our agenda is our business items. We'll start with 6A, second reading of ordinance number 2022-05, flood damage prevention ordinance. I have our planning director, Jason Knutson, summarize, please.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. This ordinance before you is to keep us within state standards. We did just kind of go over this again. We had adopted their model ordinance last year, but they have made some changes to wording and some grammatical things, changes of language. And so to stay current with what their standards are, they've asked that we adopt the ordinances before you. And nothing has changed since the first reading.
Well, thank you. Motion is in order. Councilmember Hutchings.
Mayor and Council, I make a motion to approve second reading ordinance 2022-05, flood damage prevention ordinance.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Hutchings with a second from Councilmember Gooch. Discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed signify by saying no. Motion carries unanimously. Second item, 6B, second reading of ordinance number 2022-07, redistricting ordinance. Planning Director Knudsen.
Thank you. So our final reading of our redistricting, if it goes through tonight, the updated maps will be available on our website tomorrow morning. I'll also email you all a link on how to easily get there so that you can kind of get a little more familiar with maybe some of the changes that happened to your districts. Those maps should be quite legible. Any issues, please let me know. But the Fiscal Affairs Office, as you know, has worked very diligently on being able to make a fair representation of our city amongst the wards. And so we're asking that the map that they had created for us be adopted. Nothing has changed since the first reading.
Thank you, Director Knudsen. A motion is in order. Councilmember Roche.
Mayor, I move that council approve on ordinance 2022-05. Sorry, on the flood damage. Hang on. Ordinance 2022-07, the redistricting ordinance.
A motion from Councilmember Roche with a second from Councilmember Hutchings. Discussion? Councilmember Hutchings.
I just want to say that I think this is a very equitable map that we've created here, and I appreciate that. And I also appreciate the map. We finally got a map that's pretty legible, and it's nice to have. Thank you.
Any further discussion? On the motion to approve on second reading of ordinance number 2022-07, redistricting ordinance, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed signify by saying no. Motion carries unanimously. Item 6C, second reading of Z-2022-04, proposed rezoning to property located at 210 and 216 Northeast Main Street. Mr. Derby, will you summarize, please?
Yes, sir. Good evening, Council. On your screen is the location. This is just north of College and Northeast Main Street. This will be a rezoning request for BG to ID in their development. The applicant is looking to develop the site as an outdoor multi-restaurant venue family location. Nothing has changed since the reading on November 8th. And I can answer any questions you might have.
Thank you. Motion is in order. Councilmember Gooch.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. I move that we approve Z-2022-04, proposed rezoning property located 210 216 Northeast Main Street on second reading.
Second. A motion from Councilmember Gooch with the second from Councilmember Hutchings. Discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed signify by saying no. Motion carries unanimously. Item 6D, second reading of Z-2022-05, proposed rezoning to property located at 3129 North Industrial. Planner Derby, will you summarize, please?
Yes, sir. This is for four parcels along North Industrial. Current zoning is business general. Remember, the zoning changed back in 2012. The new tenant wants to continue the use of industrial. For that to happen, it would have to be rezoned to business industrial. So, apologize for that. Nothing has changed from the November 8th council meeting.
Thank you. Motion is in order. Councilmember Cummings.
I make a motion to approve on second reading Z-2022-05, proposed rezoning to property located at 3129 North Industrial.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Cummings with a second from Councilmember Roop. Discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed signify by saying no.
No.
We have a 6-1 vote with Councilmember Roche voting no. Motion carries. Item 6E, first reading of Z-2023-01, proposed rezoning of property on West Georgia. Planner Derby, will you summarize, please?
I apologize, I don't have the screen in front of me because I must have deleted that from the last PowerPoint, but on your staff report you provided, this is a property 308 West Georgia Road. This is currently business limited. The applicant is looking to have a rezoned business general. It is in an overlay district. It's approximately 1.5 acres. The applicant does not have any tenants currently at this time. They are looking to future-proof it for a business general use. This did go at our planning commission last week, December 6th, and by a vote to 6-0, they recommended an approval. There was some discussion at this meeting regarding the stormwater. The condition of the West Georgia Road was SCDOT Road. There were some applicants, or sorry, some citizens from the neighborhood to the north that received a letter from a request from Mr. Hux about the rezoning. A lot of those were about the uses that could go there in that district, BG. That was explained. A lot of the uses in the BG are allowed in the BL currently. There are some that are excluded, and those were brought up that wouldn't go there now. So those were explained. Planning Commission explained that to them as well. So they did vote. Recommendation is 6-0.
Thank you. Motion is in order. Councilmember Roche.
Mayor, I move that Council approve first reading of Z-2023-01, proposed rezoning of property on West Georgia.
Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Roche with a second from Councilmember Houlihan. Discussion? Councilmember Roche.
Mr. Derby, could you expound a little more on what the differences are between the BL and the BG and what the major differences would be, just the highlights?
Okay.
The first of all, major differences, the setbacks for BL and BG. Business Limited allows for a 15-foot setback from property lines. So for the West Georgia Road, the property is set aside to the back, you get 15 feet that a structure can come within the property lines. And business general, you're allowed 10 feet. So with that, the added parking and the stormwater that the applicant had to put in, that's gonna chew into a lot of the space for the building. So that's one of the criteria for the change from BL to BG. The uses in there, retail can go there now. Light consumer good stores can go there now. Things that couldn't go there currently are car washes and gas stations. So everything along Fairview Road basically is business general. So the applicant does not have any current proposed uses there right now. But again, a lot of that's gonna be dictated on the size of the property. You're not gonna be able to get a large commercial use in there, just the size of the property once you chew in parking and stormwater. So that's gonna reduce a lot of the real heavy intensity uses that you would see on Berry Road. So.
Georgia, West Georgia.
No, I'm saying the referring to Fairview being the big box stores, business generally, so those uses would not be.
Further discussion? Councilmember Houlihan?
So I think you kind of answered my question there. We can put retail there, but we're going to be able to put a CVS there. I mean, that location is not really a great location if you're gonna plop down something like that and then attempt to put parking there for something like that. The thing here says multiple commercial units. So
What do we think would go there?
Doctor's office, chiropractic, insurance, places like that. They don't have a very high turnover or a traffic issue with that. A lot of those ones, they're going to want the intersections for those uses for visibility and access. That's the main thing a lot of their real estate people look for, looking at land, is how they're getting in and out. It's going to be inconvenience, and it's going to push their competition somewhere else to go to because they can't get into it. So it's going to be very limited what goes there and uses. But basically, like I see office spaces and small doctor's offices and things like that.
The goal would be to have multiple units on that 1.5 acre?
I think he's proposing probably 2 to 3. It really comes down to what their engineer, I think he started talking with an engineer now, and they're going to be more detailed on what's really physically able to go there once you calculate stormwater and parking.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Okay, on the motion to approve on first reading of Z-2023-01, proposed rezoning of property on West Georgia Road, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed signify by saying no. Motion carries unanimously. Item 6F, commissions and board appointments for the Planning Commission and Board of Zoning Appeals. Mr. Derby?
Thank you. Every year we do have to fill some vacant seats on both Planning Commission and Board of Zoning Appeals. We have two on Planning Commission that are coming available. The two applicants or the two members are not looking to be reappointed. That is Mr. Rick Hammett and Ms. Rachel Clam. They're supposed to be very beneficial members of our board, but they are stepping down. So we have two on Planning Commission and we have two on Board of Zoning Appeals. One of those is on your screen right now is Mr. Howard Lentz. He's our chairperson currently. We have received several applicants, and tonight we're going to start with the Board of Zoning Appeals. So, Ms. Grayson sent out a ballot. You need to select one person on that ballot at this time.
Staff is counting ballots. I'm going to rise to a point of personal privilege and just point out that I see the Boy Scout towards the back of the room. I just want to recognize your presence here and thank you for coming.
Mr. Mayor, y'all selected Mr. Howard Lentz.
Thank you. Next.
Now the one more seat on Board of Zoning Appeals. So again, just one person. Mr. Mayor, you all selected Jermaine Smith. So that will conclude Board of Zoning Appeals. And your next one is picking one person from the list on your screen. Just This is for a four-year seat.
I'm assuming picking one person minus Jermaine Smith and Howard Lentz.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, you selected Jordan Johnson for planning commission.
One more time.
One more time with the minus of Ms. Johnson, Mr. Lentz, and Mr. Domain. Mr. Mayor, your last seat was selected by Lauren Duell. And that concludes the commissions for this year.
Okay, thank you. So before I bring the meeting to a close, I just want to point out to everyone present, council, and the public that has remained with us this evening, that as soon as we adjourn, we're having just a small Christmas reception, and everyone is invited to come up and have cookies and grapes and cheese and punch. So again, thank you all for attending. This has been a very calm meeting with people who are certainly passionate about their views, exercising their rights to participate in the process of government. And we are glad for them in their, very polite delivery to council tonight. So thank you very much. If there is no objection, we will stand adjourned.